Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Quint Studer is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Quint is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He's one of our top management experts. He's a former hospital executive, spent a few decades in that industry, and he's the author of Hardwiring Excellence, Purpose, Worthwhile Work, Making a Difference. And he and I are going to talk about some of the things that we were talking about earlier in the hour. Quint, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks, Jim. It's nice to be here.
It's good to have you back. You know, Quint, I was talking in the earlier part of the hour before you got here. I was telling the audience that you were going to join us. And I was just pointing out that in small business, we never have enough heads to put all the hats on that we have. We have a lot of jobs, a lot of tasks to do. We never have enough people. And that's where things are different, I think, more so for small business than it is for big business. Big businesses seem to have extra people to do, to take up the slack. Small businesses, not so much. So that means that the people we have to make sure are the right people. And if we have the right people, we got to figure out a way to keep them. And if they're not the right people, we need to let them go work somewhere else. What do you think about all that?
Well, in fact, my new book, Results at Last, that's coming out October 17th, Wiley Publishing had me write 17 separate chapters, so it was more like a book that a business owner could go to or business leader. And the first chapter they selected was the whole idea about retaining talent and deselecting those who you just can't use anymore. So it's ironic.
Deselecting. Deselecting. I like that.
Yeah, it's a nicer word than firing, I think.
I can just see Trump saying, "You're deselected."
Yeah, I feel better. That meant, girls used to not dump me; they used to deselect me.
Exactly. That goes down a little better for me too. All right, go ahead.
Well, I think it's two things I wanted to talk about. We talked about letting people go before. We talked about the honeymoon quiz with the 30 and 90 day meeting to make sure new employees are adjusted. But yesterday I was talking to my son-in-law, and he owns a small business, about nine or 11 people, and he was talking about that, trying to get his employees focused on what they need to be focused on. And I said, well, do they have an evaluation? And he said, no. And one of the things I realized that many, many small businesses just don't spend the time sitting down with employees and going over expectations and putting in some type of evaluation system, because we find in our work, and we have 123 employees that do this all the time around the country with businesses, that employees will eventually gravitate toward two things: what they're being evaluated on and what they're being rewarded and recognized on. So my first suggestion to all business owners and small business owners and leaders is to make sure that you have some type of evaluation system. And if they would drop me a note at quint@studergroup.com, I'd be glad to send them a simple sample of one that we would recommend for free. Mm-hmm. Because I think people, I told him he's got people that are programmers, but he needs more sales. And I said, well, if you don't tell the programmers that sales is part of their job, they're going to just keep producing product without any worry about sales.
And if you never give them a motivation to produce sales, they won't do it either.
Right. So
you can't just tell them, as you said earlier, you can't just tell them. You have to compensate them for that.
And that's where the evaluation comes in, because the evaluation ties right into then the compensation and so on. So my first tip is to make sure that no matter how small you are, there's some type of evaluation system which very much clarifies what you expect. And we find the more objective it is, the better, because objective measurement will always win out over subjective measurement.
See, the thing that you're talking about, though, Quint, is structure.
Right.
You're talking about structure and process. And for most small businesses, if it's not directly associated with a core competency, it often doesn't get done.
Well, it's interesting you say that, because we find that, you know, evaluations that are competency-based don't always mean the employee does a good job, because you can be competent but not do the job.
Well, when I say core competencies, I'm talking about the business's core competencies. In other words, if it's associated with making a product or delivering a product or you know, going out and actually meeting a customer and asking them to buy, you know, those things might be a little more structured. But anything else, anything that's not those direct core competencies, it's difficult for a small business to get that worked into their structure.
Right, and what an evaluation does, and we always tell people to weight it. So if you have four or five or six things, weight them. And that way the person, when there's ever indecision on what they should be working on, will go right to what they're being evaluated on, which has the most weight, which is exactly what an owner of a business wants the employees to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, my only other comment quickly on this is, folks, the thing that all small business owners have to remember, including me, ladies and gentlemen, is that the things that are not seen as our core competencies, if we don't manage those well, they will take the core competencies down. But if they're managed well, they will reinforce and support the core competencies. The non-core competency elements must be done well, and if you can't do them well, you need to get somebody to help you do that.
Yeah, and in my son-in-law's case, you're absolutely right. You know, the core business is one of sales, yet the people get so caught up doing the other things because they might be more comfortable with it, they miss the core business, which is the sales end.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can even rationalize, you know, people can rationalize, but this is important. But I'm just a big believer that many people don't really know the expectations, and many small businesses just don't put an evaluation system in.
Well, there's no question about that. And part of it is because of what I said a minute ago. It's not something that we're comfortable in having as in our structure, but also a lot of it is just basically being ignorant of, and I don't mean that, you know, I mean we just don't know about some of the things that need to be done.
Oh, absolutely.
Because human resources is a human resources, managing people, it's a professional element, isn't it?
Yes. Well, you know, when we go into an organization, what we'll do is ask them how they're doing on their we'll look at their goals, and we'll talk about how they're doing on their goals, and then we actually look at if they have an evaluation system, how their people are being evaluated. And we find that organizations that underachieve,
Quint, hold that.
Still getting a good eval.
Hold that thought. We've got to take a quick break. Right back with Quint Studer. It's 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
What is this now, baby? Maybe she's in need.
Maybe 6 or 8 or 10 or maybe 4 or whatever. But it's clearly a small business, but we're going places, and we got customers who want our business, who want to do business with us, and now you're talking about evaluating, and that just seems like, you know, like you're sticking a monkey wrench into the works or something.
Oh, I think it's the opposite. I think what you're doing is you're putting oil on, you're lubricating the organization.
You and I know that, but when you say evaluating, that's not how it sounds.
I think when you look at evaluation, I think it's laying out expectations for the employee, which ties from where you want to go as an owner of the company, what your goals are. You cascade those goals down to the employees, and then they start how they're going to be evaluated and measured. And we find, even in small businesses, there's a small newspaper here in Pensacola called The Independent, and Rick Outson's the owner, and he has 6 employees, and he interviewed me, and you know, he sort of got intrigued with it, and eventually we let him put in the eval that we recommend organizations put in. And he said it was immediate when he saw the alignment of behaviors, when certain employees knew that they were going to be evaluated on a story being turned in by a certain time, the newspaper hitting the press at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And literally it's made his job so much easier.
What he did was he explained to them how their cog of work fit into the mechanism of the paper.
Absolutely. And then on a 1 through 5 system, what's a 5, which might, you know, what's a 4. So they not only knew where they fit, but they knew what the expectations were for performance and how they were going to be measured. And every week, this sort of got posted. and bingo. It was. It took about 4 to 6 weeks to see what was going on, but quickly, people very quickly aligned. And what he found, it took. Well, you talked about a monkey in the works. It took a monkey off his back.
Yeah.
Because everybody understood what was going on. I sort of call it sort of like if you've ever been a farmer. Once the feed hits, the cows almost know it's coming, and they start aligning up. And once the evaluation's done, the employees start aligning their behavior to the outcomes of the owner of the company.
Tell us what I think you were starting this when we went to the break. Give us an example of an evaluation. What's a classic evaluation?
Well, for example, let me use Rick for an example. For his evaluation, he has one salesperson. So that salesperson's evaluation would basically, if you look at five elements, I'm not trying to make this too complex, but usually things either long in lines, you're doing work that's service-oriented, quality, people, which means you're trying to, you're in a supervisory role, finance, you have some financial part of the operations, or growth, you're trying to grow it. In his company, he's got an editor, and the editor's goal was basically very much the when this story was written and when it got turned in. He had an artist then. The artist's job was basically when the artwork was done, when it was turned in, when it went to printer, and then, of course, the sales had the dollar goals each week. So that would be a very simple one, no different than when you go to a car dealer and you look on the back, and they got their white grease board, and they got how many goals each salesman, how many cars each salesman is supposed to sell, and where they're at each day. Now, for a more complex business, we can break it up. We have over 31,000 leaders in our web-based evaluation system at Studer Group. And if any listeners want to drop me an email, I'll be glad to send them some samples. Again, no charge.
Thank you.
To send them samples of what some evaluations could look like and what one looks like.
S-T-U-D-E-R.
Right.
G-R-P.
Quint, Quint at Studer Group, StuderGroup.com.
And the group is spelled out, okay, .com.
Right.
All right. Go ahead.
On the other thing, Jim, I'd like to talk about, I noticed you before the show, what we have found, we do a lot of research now, and we have found that 92% of employees, we talk about the 8% that, like you said, we have to deselect.
Right.
But we have found that 92% of employees will align their behavior to what's being rewarded and recognized. And one of the things for your listeners is to think about this. According to Gallup research, for an employee to feel good about where they work and their boss, they need 3 compliments to every 1 criticism. When I do talks around the country, I always say, how many of you, if you heard your boss wants to see your first thought is, oh, good, here comes some reward and recognition? And the crowd laughs. And I said, well, if you leave and employees that work for you come in, what would they do? And I think we miss that. And when we did a study, and we found that if I went up to you, Jim, and I came up to you and I said, Jim, I just want to let you know, when I got to the work site this morning, you had everything prepared, you had everything ready to go, and I gave you the compliments. Now, if I do that, you're going to feel good. And if I do it in front of your other employees, they will quickly align their behavior to what's being recognized. So it's 3-1.
Hold on to that thought. Quint Studer is going to stay with us a little bit longer, folks, because I want to ask him about this compliment thing and how that fits into how that can solve this lack of engagement of some of this new research that we've been hearing about. And we'll do that right after these messages. It's 29 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And I know why you're still listening, because we have Quint Studer as a guest right now. It's Quint's hanging around with us a little bit, the author of Hardwiring Excellence. And we're talking about some of the things that you and I need to be working on in order to keep our good people and maybe encourage the people who aren't so good to hurry along the way to go work somewhere else. Quint's book is, as I said, Hardwiring Excellence. The new book coming out, Quint, is?
Results That Last. It's Hardwiring Behaviors to Take Your Organization to the Top. It's by Wiley Press, and you can order it through Amazon.com, or you can order it online right now through Barnes & Noble. And
that's
if you order it before, excuse me?
Go ahead.
If you order it before October 17th, I think you get a 33% discount. So instead of $24, I think it's $16.97.
And that's those are pre-orders. They'll ship them in October. And you're gonna launch that book on the show, aren't you?
I hope so.
Yeah, we'll be glad to do that.
I'm more excited about the book. It's very it's very good for a leader. They can go to things on customer service. They can go to things on selection of talent. They can go to something on communication, connecting engaging the employees, and of course the we they. And you and I have talked a lot about if you don't train your supervisors, you end up with a we they culture.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking before break, and what we've really seen remarkable is when leaders really understand, or business owners, the power of reward and recognition or compliments. Because as a business owner, I might think I don't need it. This is why I do it. And some people might even think it's hokey, yet research shows it takes 3 compliments to every 1 criticism. And we find that if you go up to an employee and you compliment that employee specifically for what they've done, you just don't want to say, oh, good job, but very specifically, the other employees align to it real quick. When I do my seminars, I will go up to a couple of them. There's 400 people at each seminar, and I'll go up into a row of people, and I'll say, I'm in the workplace today, and I come out, and I come up to you, and I compliment you for these specific reasons, boom, boom, boom. And then I walk away, and I will have other people in the audience, and I'll say, well, hello, Sue, Linda, Don, and I'll keep walking. And, of course, the crowd sort of chuckles. And I said, now, what will those 3 people do immediately? And all of them say, they're going to do the same behavior that you just complimented the other person for. So I would really encourage people, to beef up the reward and recognition in organizations, because it's the cheapest thing we can do many times. In fact, the number one motivator for a person on the work is a written thank you from my boss. The second one is a personal thank you from my boss. The third one is public praise. The fourth one is morale-building meetings. And the fifth one is promotion for performance.
Mm-hmm. Well, this praise thing is, a lot of times business owners, managers, see people doing things that they're doing well. Well, they're being paid to do things well. And you got this manager might be a little more effusive than another manager. Maybe one manager is more likely to give praise than another manager, and I think that employees, not to minimize what you're saying at all, I agree with what you're saying, Quint, but I think some managers are a little more stoic than other managers, and maybe a compliment twice a year means more to them than another boss who just throws compliments out all the time. What do you think about
I think a couple things. Research shows it takes 3 compliments to 1 criticism. So if your stoic boss also doesn't criticize often, you're probably okay.
Right.
But it does take 3 to 1. And the other thing we find, 2 things that leaders can't do. You don't want to give general praise unless everybody deserves it. And a lot of times people say, everybody's great here, everybody's working hard, everybody knows Susie ain't done anything all day. So,
right.
So you don't want to be general with your praise, thinking
mm-hmm.
you've praised everyone, because they don't accept it if they see people that don't deserve it getting
right.
it back. They think you don't know what people are doing here. So you don't want to do general praise. And the other thing is, the more specific it is, the more authentic. Instead of saying good job, you'd want to be very specific. You did a good job doing this, this, and this. So those would be my tips on that.
And would you call them in the office to give them that praise?
Oh, I would try to do it as public as possible, because I
yeah.
want the other employees to hear what I'm saying and hear what I'm looking for. Because once again, we almost go back to where we started, Jim. It lays out the expectations. And we always say
right.
what you want to do is you want to create role models for employees.
Praise in public, criticize in private. Hey, Quint Studer, thank you for being here today. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Well, thank you. I hope I hear from somebody. I'm on the eval, and I hope you order results at last. Thank you.
There you go. 20
thank
till.
You.
Going to be right back with our good friend Nancy Rosanoff. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.